You're listening to Brevard County's very best in contemporary Christian and modern praise and worship music. 91.5 FM WMIE.
Lord, make me an instrument.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good morning to you, Brevard County. Thank you for joining us here on the Refresh Radio program. My name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God. We want to thank you for joining us here on WMIE 91.5 FM, today's modern worship. And if you have been suffering through this Arctic blast that's been coming through here for the past few weeks, I want you to know our winters are very short. And so normally I joke that they're on Tuesday around 3 a.m. We are known for long summers and short winters. So if you don't like cold weather, stick around. It won't last long. Want to say thank you today to the folks at Treasure Your Landscape. Dan and Treasure and their team, they're really, really good at what they do. Here a couple of weeks ago, Dan texted me and said, hey, we need to tweak some things around the church. Can we come by and get that all lined up? And he noticed things that I hadn't noticed, and I just am thankful for their expertise and their attention to details. They've been doing landscaping for over 20 years. They're a licensed and insured family business. They have a full array of products, artificial turf of various types. They do putting greens, landscaping services, paver installation, landscape lighting, water features, design, planting, maintaining, repairing drains and downspouts. Their goal is to transform your outdoor area into a space your family will treasure. Their phone number is 321-749-1432. I noticed a Facebook post that they made here recently when the cold weather was coming, and they were offering advice to their to whoever might be reading their post. Hey, you got to take care of your plants when that cold air is before the cold air even arrived. And so they didn't make any money off of that. They just wanted to make sure that people were able to take care of their products. They are great, great people. They love Jesus. Space Coast Nursery is north of the Barge Canal, 3880 North Courtney Parkway, Merritt Island, Florida. They're open Monday through Saturday, 8 to 5, 321-452-5565. Those are some great resources for those of you who are looking to make your outdoor space something your family can treasure and enjoy during the spring and spring months and following. So thank you, Dan, Treasure, and Heaven and your team. You folks are awesome. Today we're going to go into Psalm 78. We're looking at the examples where the scripture talks about that God, who is full of compassion, or like I said on yesterday's program, I believe it was, compassion plus. It's not just compassion in a silo. You know, a lot of times people say, well, this is this silo's activity, and this is what happens in this, and they try and isolate everything or compartmentalize everything. And God is all of those things all of the time. So I want to take you to Psalm 78 because it shows that God's compassion is poured out to people even though they're not perfect. And his compassion shows up in a very special way in Psalm 78. I'm going to start reading in verse number 32. This really starts to a passage of scripture detailing what it was like after the wilderness miracles. And we're going to read all the way down to 42, so about 11 verses. And the reason that I carried it on all the way down to verse number 42 is because I want you to see the nature of God. Yes, he's compassionate, but he is so, so much more. So Psalm 78, verse 32 says, "In spite of this, they still sinned and did not believe in his wondrous works. Therefore, their days he consumed in futility and their years in fear. When he slew them, then they sought him, and they returned and sought earnestly for God. Then they remembered that God was their rock and the Most High God, their Redeemer. Nevertheless, they flattered him with their mouth, and they lied to him with their tongue, for their heart was not steadfast with him, nor were they faithful in his covenant." Want to just point out to you that on some of our recent programs, we talked about that God's compassion, I believe it was Friday's program, that God's compassion is inextricably linked to covenant. That's what he's looking for us. Here it says, "Nor were they, the people, faithful in his covenant." Verse 38, "But he, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity and did not destroy them. Yes, many a time he turned his anger away and did not stir up all his wrath, for he remembered that they were but flesh, a breath that passes away and does not come again. How often they provoked him in the wilderness and grieved him in the desert. Yes, again and again they tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. They did not remember his power, the day when he redeemed them from the enemy." So, in spite of all of the miracles that God had done, their sandals didn't wear out, their clothes didn't wear out, they had manna every day, he caused water to flow from the rock, there were daily miracles of provision. You know, and, you know, the plagues were miraculous. There was plenty of evidence that God, who was working on their behalf, was supernatural. And yet these people in their natural day-to-day life continued to sin. And it said this, "and did not believe in his wondrous works." I don't know if the sea parted and I walked over on dry ground and got to the other side, and then the enemy that was pursuing me on that same path ended up being devastated by the miraculous that God had just provided for me. I would believe that. If I got up and there were groceries on my lawn every morning that God promised that it would be there, and twice on the sixth day, twice as much, I wouldn't take that stuff for granted. And it said, in spite of all those wondrous works, they still did not believe in him. You see, the deception about unbelief is that it says, if I just had a little more evidence, if there was just one more thing, then I would believe. I want to take you to Gideon. Gideon said, "Hey, God, if you want me to do this, this is what I want you to do tomorrow morning." And God did it. And you would think, "Hey, that's what I said I wanted." And Gideon said, "You know, don't be angry. I'm just looking for a little more evidence. And let's flip the script. Tomorrow, let it be the opposite of as it was today." And that's exactly what happened. Came time for him to go and attack the Midianites. And all of a sudden, he's having doubt again. And God says, go down to the camp, listen to the tent. And he hears that they are already aware that God is going to use him. And he comes back and he's like, finally, I can believe. There was more than enough evidence. You know, if God knows you by name, knows where to find you, knows what you're facing, and knows what he wants to do in you and through you, there's plenty of evidence. The reason that there are so many unbelievers in the world is not because of lack of evidence, but it's because of ignoring the evidence. And yet at the same time, the same people who refuse to believe the word of God and cite lack of evidence have put their faith in ungodly beliefs and ungodly practices for which there is no evidence, and in some cases, evidence exactly opposite of what they claim to believe. The problem is not a cannot believe, it is an unwillingness to believe. And so they did not believe his wondrous works. And so I want to just challenge you today. I guess maybe because I'm getting a little bit older. And I don't want to miss the opportunities, but I just want to challenge you. Put your faith in God. The disciples asked, what's the work of God? And Jesus said, believe. Believe in the works that God has sent me to do. Have faith in God. And so I want to encourage you. Belief is not for lack of evidence. If you read in, I believe it's the Gospel of Luke, where Lazarus dies and the rich man dies, and the rich man is in hell, not because he's rich, but because he's an unbeliever. Lazarus is in heaven not because he's poor, but because he is a believer. And the rich man says, hey, I need you to send some people back to my family. And Abraham responds, no. And by the way, Jesus never says that that's a parable. I'll just point that out. He says there was a rich man, and there was a man by the name of Lazarus. No indication that it's the exact same Lazarus from John chapter 11, I believe it is. Nothing that says it's not, but nothing that says it is. The rich man says, hey, send somebody to my family because I don't want them to experience this. And he said, they have the law and the prophets. And he said, yeah, they've got that evidence, but if someone came back from the dead, they would believe in him. And Father Abraham says, no, if they won't believe the revelation that they have, they will not believe even if someone raised from the dead. I want to point out something to you. Jesus is raised from the dead. People still don't believe. They still do not believe. What are the consequences if God's doing wondrous works and people are continuing in sin and refuse to believe? It says, therefore their days he consumed in futility. I hate doing meaningless tasks. I literally got fired from a job one time because what I was being asked to do, and I've got no problem. I mean, if somebody, I went and asked for permission to change what one person had said. I went to the person who had hired me and said, hey, this is the reality. You've got RVs on a gravel parking lot and very dry season, so you got gravel dust blowing around all the time. Can I just go and knock the dust off with a feather duster instead of wiping everything down with Pledge? The owner said, no problem. The other guy said, that's a problem. And to me, it was an exercise in futility, because just as soon as I would get done, it would be covered with dust again. I'd go in there and feather dust all day long. It doesn't matter to me. I mean, I know how to follow orders. There are a lot of things that we do in this life that have no eternal value. I want to elevate your expectations, if I can, and say, God, I don't just want to spend my days. I want to invest my days. And so I heard a person make this statement that says the word of God is one of the only things that is guaranteed by God to have a return on investment. He sends forth his word and it will not return to him void. It will strike its mark. And so everything that we do for God in our relationship with him, it's going to be worth it. There's an old song, it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. And the world would try and get us busy with things in this life that have no eternal value. And, you know, the picture that I've got going on in my head right now is a dog that's chasing its tail. There's no value in it, no value in catching it. In fact, if you catch it, then it's going to be worse. So I don't want us to be wasting our time, wasting our life, and unbelief will cause that. It causes us to miss out on investments that would cause us to be able to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Wasting our life, wasting our time, results in wood, hay, and stubble instead of gold, metal, and precious stones. And the other thing is, it consumed their days, he consumed in futility, and their years in fear. And we've talked about that God's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. So we are not supposed to be living each day. Is today the day that a problem is going to overwhelm me? That's the way a lot of people live their life. So I always like to mention this example. The children of Israel got to the border of the promised land. They sent out their spies. The spies came back and said, it's a fantastic land. There's cities, there's fruit that, you know, I mean, this is the fruit. Took two guys to carry back a cluster of grapes. I mean, just abundant fruit. People were giants in the land. And then when it came time to go in, the spies said, oh, we couldn't do that. Those cities are fortified. And the land consumes its inhabitants. It's like, well, wait a minute. How can people be thriving to reach gigantic proportions and yet it being such a perilous place that you couldn't thrive? And besides that, your testimony doesn't line up with the testimony of God that it is a land flowing with milk and honey. It's a place of abundance. So they became fearful of going in, and then when God judged them, then they were fearful of staying out. And God said, too late. Too late. I'm going to take the next 40 years purging my people of an unbelieving generation. And so 40 years, everybody who was 20 years and older died except for Joshua and Caleb. Again, they sent out spies. This time they didn't send out as many. This time they only sent out two. And they show up at a lady named Rahab's house. Rahab was a prostitute. And she has this conversation with them, and she, this is the gist of the conversation. She says, "Where have you been? For 40 years, we have been living in our city. We have been living in fear, knowing what God did on your behalf in the wilderness, what God did on your behalf in Egypt. And we've been here trembling every day. The reason that they are hunting you down right now, trying to find you, is because they know what God has said, and what God has said will come to pass. Where have you been?" And the truth of the matter was that the people of Israel had been wandering around in the wilderness because of fear, when actually what God had done was let people in the land know, "I'm going to do this, and there's nothing that you can do that is going to be able to stop it." Fear does immobilize us, and I don't want to live my life in fear. In fact, I had the privilege of praying for someone before a medical procedure, and I've prayed this prayer before. I don't remember that I've ever prayed this prayer before a surgical procedure. And I was like, "God, I want to thank you. You have promised that we will see the goodness of God in the land of the living." And so I want you to know that that promise is out there. Verse number 34 says, "When he slew them, they sought him, and they returned and sought earnestly for God." When the consequences of unbelief begin to manifest, it's very humbling. And it causes people to resume their seeking after God. It says they returned to him and sought him earnestly. And the Bible promises that when we seek him with all of our heart, or when we seek him, we'll find him, because we seek him with all of our heart. And when we are seeking him earnestly, all of a sudden it's going to impact our memory. There's some things that you have forgotten. So my wife and I, we have these discussions. We've been married for several decades, and we still remember, you know, the various stages of the relationship. And so I can vaguely remember the first time that I saw her. I distinctly remember the second time that I saw her. And here in January, we were walking out to the car. I believe we were, I don't know if we were going out to eat with some people that we had known since before we were married. I think it was the week after that. And I was remembering the passion for God that she has had since the very first day that I've known her. And several decades have gone by. Been a lot of victories, a lot of challenges. And as I was walking behind her, I had locked up the building, and she was on her way to her car, and I was on my way to my car. We get there at two different times. I was like, "She's still faithful after all these years. Still got a fire for God." And I want to remind you today that the God of your youth, if you knew God when he's young, when you were young, he's still the same. Remember that God is your foundation. He is our rock. And it goes on and it says, "And the Most High God their Redeemer. When we seek him, all of a sudden we remember things. So my wife's mother passed away in 2025, and the last couple of times that we were able to travel to be with her, she would start reminiscing. And she was telling stories about the family, and we're all looking around, and it's like, none of us have ever heard these stories before. And I started taking notes of them, started doing some research on my phone while she was mentioning things. And I don't know what your family dynamic is like. I do know that the enemy is a thief, and he loves to come and steal and kill and destroy, and he loves to attack families. But maybe every once in a while we could have a family conversation where we reminisce and remember about God being our foundation. And not only is he our foundation, he's our Redeemer. He's the one who paid the price for us. And it was a very high price. You know, a lot of times there's articles that show up on news sites and things like that. Person goes to a thrift store and they buy something and they pay a little amount of money, or they go to a yard sale and they pay a small amount of money, and come to find out it is worth crazy amounts of money, and they're celebrating the fortune of their bargain find. I want you to know that God didn't find you in the bargain basement, Ben. He actually found us when we were at our lowest, when we had the least amount of value, when we were hostile towards him, didn't believe in him, fought against him at every turn, complained and murmured and groaned, and he said, you know what? There's a masterpiece of God that is in that person. That person is a masterpiece, and I'm going to pay the highest price. You determine value not by what a person thinks you're worth, but how much they're willing to pay for you. And Jesus paid with his precious blood. You've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Remember God. Let's not spend our days in unbelief, in futility, and fear. Let's seek him while he may be found. Let's return to him and remember he is our Redeemer. You have a blessed day because you've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. See you next time here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."
Whalen Duff with Keller Williams Space Coast Realty is a friendly, knowledgeable, active, and accessible real estate agent here in Brevard County. Keller Williams is known for real estate services all across the world, and Whalen specializes in helping buyers purchase the right place to call home, as well as helping sellers market and negotiate the sale of their single-family home, condo, vacant land, or business. Whalen Duff can be reached at 321-536-5973 or visit whalenduff.kw.com. Realtor.com. Whalen Duff with Keller Williams Space Coast Realty is your local realtor who provides all you need and the time you deserve to get your